May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Well, I too want to wish you a hearty good morning. It is good to be in your midst this morning. Like Dennis said, a beautiful morning. Thank you, Dennis, for that opening. We appreciate our servants in the church, and we want to thank you for coming out. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Then he says, for unto thee will I pray. That is kind of the background to the message this morning is, do we pray, or do we get into situations when we really pray? I want to take you to Acts chapter 12. I'm going to share with you a difficult situation and see what God does with that and see what God does with our lives when we get into difficult situations. We live in a world where there's many difficult situations. They were in Scripture. They are around us today. They are in your life. They're in my life. And as we read this story, you will realize they were in the lives with the years ago difficult times. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, or like 16 soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And Peter was come to himself. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel or girl came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Thus far. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask as we open the word today, we pray for your insight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us through your word. And we pray, Father, that it would encourage us today. So we just ask you to be here. Give us wisdom to understand in your name. Amen. This is a wonderful story. But this is a real story. This is not a fiction story. This is a real story. A story actually about a gate and about a prison and about Peter. Gate was locked. Closed. Peter couldn't get out. Except if someone would come along and take the keys and unlock it and would open it up, well then Peter would have been able to get out. But Peter got himself into trouble. You ever been in trouble? Peter got himself into trouble, and they put him in prison. A prison by no one else. It says in verse 1 that Herod the king Now, obviously, Herod the king had power to put people in prison, and so they put Peter into prison. And as far, I think, as Peter was concerned, when you're put into prison, and you got 16 soldiers around you, and two guarding you at night, and the gate is closed, you ain't ever getting out, right? Would you ever think of getting out? There's no way to get out. I mean, how do you get out? But then one night, something totally unexpected happened. Verse 7 talks about a light. Verse 7 talks about an angel of the Lord. It says, arise quickly, gird yourself, get dressed, put on your sandals, and the chains fall off. And the stranger says, follow me. They go through a hall, through the prison, pass one guard after another. Finally, they get to the gate. And this gate that's locked, it opens up, and they walk on through. This is a true story. This is not a fairy tale, fiction story. Peter actually thinks that he's dreaming this, or it's a vision. This isn't true. Can't be true. No way. Doesn't happen. Can't be behind all this stuff, and it just opens up. There were at least two influences at work that had something to do with the opening of this gate. And the first one is this, prayer of Peter's friends. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the people of God. We could say a continual stream of prayers just going up to God from the church on Peter's behalf. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've asked the church to pray for you, but if you have, you'll have a little bit of an idea what Peter is going through. There is nothing as strong as a church praying for its people. Nothing. To know that the people of the church care for you, they care about your situation, and they are lifting you up in prayer. I know many of you have been there, and many of you will be there, maybe all of us someday, and you'll need it. You will need it. You have no idea how much it's worth until you're in that situation. Probably ask Lloyd, the situation he's gone through, how the people of the church prayed for him, and I'm sure it must have, maybe only small ways, but lifted him up because he knew we were behind him. And so I could use all of you probably as an example. That is where the power is, brothers and sisters. You can't get away from that. But I believe Peter was very much like you and me often are. That's very good. That's very, very good if the people of the church pray for me. But what good does that do me when I'm inside a prison with 16 soldiers around me and they got my legs tied up and the gates closed and I'm not going to get out of here? I appreciate your prayers, but I'm not getting out. What good does that do me under these circumstances? Sleeping between two soldiers, and we have people praying, and they're supposed to do something? Is this something supposed to happen? Bound with chains, it says, verse 6. Keepers before the door. You might as well match a butterfly to a bulldozer, right? I don't know if that's a good comparison, but that's so far. But isn't it? Do we really expect something's going to happen when we're in that kind of a situation? What can prayers do to a prison wall? What can prayers do to a gate that's locked? We pray, I think, and I think we pray earnestly, but I don't know if we always expect God to answer in such miraculous ways. But you know what? The longer we live, I think the more we start to believe that, yeah, God can do this, right? Prayer has power, and God uses us to tell him. I appreciate Martin Luther. He wrote this. He would rather have an army against him than 100 men and women praying against him. He'd rather take the army. If you have 100 people praying against you, rather take the army, because the army is not as strong as prayer. So we have two influences that were at work. First one was prayer, and the second one was the beginning of verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Now, the angel of the Lord, the Bible here describes as a strange visitor. You know, as far as I often see the angels, I think we forget about angels, but they're the type of person that goes beyond our understanding. From time to time, that other world breaks in on this world, and when that happens, strange and marvelous things seem to happen. Angels are those that dwell in that margin of mystery. From time to time, they come into our world. You ever had it happen to you? It's actually not long ago. A man told me a story about how an angel protected me in an accident. He said it had to be an angel. Do you ever think of angels around you? I think they're all around us. An angel came and saved me. I think it should be comforting to us to know that angels are around us, to give us strength. Sometimes when we're totally out and down and dried out, maybe the count is overdrawn, but an angel will come and give us strength. Sometimes you can just feel it. I think sometimes the angels do that, as if they're right there. So there are two influences at work in the case of Peter here. Up from the earth come the stream of prayers, the church praying. And sometimes I want you to think of that when you're in trouble. Think of the stream of prayers that go up to the skies and how the Lord hears all this. And from that other world, that world of mystery, comes down from above an angel of the Lord. A bright light shining. And when these two things come together, brothers and sisters, be careful. Something's going to happen. It's no wonder that the gate opens. It's no wonder that everybody falls asleep except for Peter. There's two things I want you to remember this morning about the message. The first one's this. Nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We hear of a lot of fires in our world, we hear of hurricanes, we hear of all kinds of stuff. There is nothing for our God impossible for him to cure that in moments. Nothing's impossible for him. We live in an unrestricted universe. We live in a world in which spiritual forces, in other words, our great God, can master any situation that he wants. Do you believe that? You have to believe that, because that's true. Maybe he doesn't always do it. I'll totally admit that. Maybe he doesn't always do it. Maybe the angels don't always come. Maybe that gate doesn't always open. I'm ready to admit that. But listen to this. It can happen. And it is more likely to happen when we, with our little bit of faith, believe that it can happen. Turn back to Matthew chapter 17, just for an interesting, beautiful portion of Scripture. Matthew 17, starting at verse 14. Matthew 17, 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, or however, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now that's quite something, isn't it, when you read that? Faith enough to move mountains? What kind of mountains is he talking about? Jesus isn't talking about magic removal, is he? He does not pretend that prayer can push Mount Washington into the Atlantic Ocean. Or any mountain into any ocean, for that matter. But what he is saying is faith, the size of a mustard seed, and if you know mustard seeds, how terribly small they are, but faith, the size of a mustard seed, can make things that look totally impossible, possible. That's what he is saying. Something that looks in your life, right now, you're looking at it and you're saying, this is impossible. It's just not going to get better. It's done. We're finished. No. Jesus is saying, things that look impossible are possible. A little bit of faith can stand up and remove the stuff that traps us. The stuff that scares us. I want to insist this morning that faith in the love of God, we know in Jesus Christ, faith the size of a mustard seed can ground us in power and release us to the point where the improbable becomes probable. Our fondest, our deepest hopes result finally in deliverance. This morning, you might be feeling like you're in a hopeless situation. You maybe look around and you don't see one single opening, or you don't see one way out of this. You feel like something like Peter did in that cell. You got all these soldiers around you, you're prisoned, you're bound. You feel like Peter. Although you have the freedom of the whole world around you, you feel like you're caged. You might be saying to yourself, this is hopeless. I know the laws that operate in my case, and I know they're not going to change, and so it's hopeless. So I'm just going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to bear it. Do you feel that way? You ever say things like that? Don't. Don't even think it. You know why? Because there are no hopeless cases. Because you never know when God's going to take our little bit of faith and will bring something from above that will completely change your situation. And I think many of us have seen it many times in life. He will release you. He will liberate you. He will give you freedom. He will set you free. And like I've said, prepare, maybe he doesn't always do it. And if you're always counting on God to do something great, he doesn't always do it. You might get disappointed in him at times. Sometimes we get into a jam and into a situation and we stay there for a long time and nothing happens. But living in the kind of universe that we are living in today, our task is to keep our minds open to the possibility that anything can happen. Our great God is bigger than any situation. He is bigger than any mountain you are seeing in front of you today. Because when the streams of prayers go up and the angel comes down, like it says in verse 5 and 7, something can happen. You can expect God to do something. And the second thing I want you to remember is this. Nothing is as hard as you think it's going to be. When we hit COVID 3-4 years ago, we saw that difficult, didn't we? And I'm not saying it was easy, but I must say today it wasn't nearly as bad as what we thought. We always look at stuff and we see all these big obstacles. Things that we think we're never probably going to get over. And as we stand there and we look at them and we dread them and we dread them and we dread them, they almost take you down, or they take you down to a certain point, don't they? They can, and they do. I'm willing to admit that I, and I'm sure you too, have wasted more energy on thinking on things of how bad they're going to be than anything else. Than any amount of work that I'm called upon to do. You look at these things, you weigh them, they seem so heavy that no human shoulder can carry them. But when you pick them up, they're not nearly as heavy as you thought they were going to be. I'm amazed at Peter in this cell. It doesn't say anywhere that Peter even got excited. It seemed like he just took whatever they gave him. He couldn't get out anyhow, so might as well relax. Not that I'm saying he should enjoy it, but let God take care of it. Very often when you get to that place that you have so dreaded, you go through it, oh, well, that wasn't nearly as bad as what I thought. Think how much time we spend dreading the future. I don't know about you, but do you ever dread even going to the dentist? I had to go, actually, about 2 months ago. After all my years, I finally found a hole in my tooth. I was always bragging I'd never had a cavity. And here all of a sudden, I put my tongue in my tooth and there's a hole. Oh, no, I go. Here I go, first time ever. So off to a dentist I go. Well, yeah, I'm dreading it. He looks at it and he says, oh, you'll be done in 15, 20 minutes. But he said to me, you can't see anymore, you haven't got a cavity, or you didn't have a filling. Finally, you got a filling. But you know, when I went home, I said, well, how come people dread that so much? That was near as bad as what I thought it was going to be. But I was dreading it because it's so bad. But you notice that once you sometimes have to go through these things, it's not nearly as bad as what you put in your head. Very often, once you begin to shoulder the task, and shouldering it, the weight gets diminished. So when you get to this gate, like Peter did, and it just opens up, I wonder what he felt like. The prayers of the church, the angel, the light, had a strange way of getting Peter to just be able to walk on out. And you know what? I believe even the gates of death, which seem to be so fastly closed and we're kind of scared of it, I think they will just open up and we'll just walk through. I really believe that. Sometimes, though, I think, I have to admit, we expect too much from God. And I shouldn't say it that way, but sometimes God uses ordinary people like you and me to help somebody else along life's way. Sometimes he'll do miraculous things, but sometimes I think he wants to use ordinary people to help us. Or maybe sometimes we expect God to do some great thing for selfish reasons. Sometimes maybe we believe that God exists to serve us. And it's not always the case. We can't expect God to work out our plan. God has a plan, and he will work that plan out, and we need to accept that plan. You know, the thing about, we need to understand about miraculous things in Scripture and even today come from the basic truth that the kingdom of God drew near in the ministry of Jesus Christ. But the kingdom did not come in its fullness back then. We wait for that at the second coming of Christ. What we experience now when God does these things in our midst, you know what it is? It's a foretaste. It's just a foretaste of the power of the age to come. That's what it is. Take, for example, the area of health. Complete healing will never come to our bodies until we receive our resurrected bodies, right? We know that. Until God's kingdom comes in its fullness. The power of aging and death will continue. You will continue to get older, just like me. Aging and death is at work in our lives, and that's not going to stop. Sickness and suffering are side effects. Do you know that any healing that we get here in this earth is actually only temporary? There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And that will remain true until the coming of the kingdom in its fullness. We're not going to get away from that. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves in tight spots, and we want something so drastically, to happen so quickly. And we cry out to God to deliver us, and it seems like he doesn't hear us. I'm sure you've gone through that. Maybe you're going through that. Get us off the hook. He might just have something better in store for us. Right? Sometimes he has something better in store for us. Or he wants us to learn through this situation. He wants us to mature. If God made everything easy for us, how would we ever grow in our Christian walk? How would we ever grow at all? Faith is not a power by which we control God. That's not faith. Faith is trusting God and giving ourselves completely over to him. That's what it is. When the Lord Jesus does these great things amongst us, he is giving us a foretaste of the age to come. We can look forward to something awesome. But his power working in and through us does not remove our weaknesses. Like I said, we should expect great things from God, but we also need to allow him the freedom to work in a way that his wisdom dictates, or that his will is. He allows things, and I don't know why, but he knows. So in closing, I want to ask you this morning, is there anything that you dread? Is there something in the future that you dread? It could be disease, it could be aging, embarrassment, failure, disappointment, whatever. Is there something that you dread? I want you to take that thing, whatever it is. Maybe you feel like Peter in that prison cell, I'm never going to get out. Maybe you feel like Peter, a hopeless situation. I want you to take that thing and I want you to look at it. Look at that mountain in front of you this morning. And I want to say to yourself, in the presence of God, I'm never going to dread that again. Never. I'm going to do everything I can to prepare to meet it, and then I'm going to forget it. Because I know when I get there, God will take care of me. I know when I get to that gate, it's going to open up. You can't force it open, but I believe it will open. All you keep doing is move slowly, slowly toward it. And you know, as the curtain falls on the story of Peter in prison, we see Peter going down the street after he has been released from prison. He just goes one block, and then it seems like the angels leave him, verse 10. It says, and forthwith the angel departed from him. As if the angel was there when he needed him. He walked with him to get out of there, and once he was out, the angel kind of left him. It's as though when we need strength, God will be there. But we don't forget. Never forget. We remember when the going was hard. And remember when the Lord visited us and there was light in the cell. We remember. We don't forget. I'm going to close with a little bit of an illustration of, for those of you, I don't know if you've ever been in Florida, but there's a man that walks along a beach in Florida. And if you ever go there, I think he's quit. I think he's passed away now. But he used to do this for years, and as the sun was setting, this old man would walk along the beach in Florida. Even though the beach was empty, everybody had gone home. Wasn't even enough light for fishermen anymore, but this old man walks along the beach. And he's carrying a bucket. In his hand, he carrying a bucket. And in this bucket, in his bony hand, he's getting older. Guess what's in there? Shrimp. Walking along the beach in Florida, carrying a bucket of shrimp. Guess who that's for? Seagulls. He walks to a pier, that's just a big rock that sticks out into the ocean there in Florida. And he walks there, and he walks right to the end of that rock. And the time has come. He only does this once a week, every Friday night. The time has come for a weekly feast. And there he gets to the end of the rock, and he stands and he waits. It doesn't take long, and the sky just becomes a mass of, what should I call it, dancing dots or of bird seagulls. The evening silence gives way to the screeching of seagulls. They fill the sky. They're on a pilgrimage, you know where? To meet the old man. And for a half hour or so, every Friday night, as long as this man lived, stood there and he fed seagulls. Now, who would feed seagulls? You know what seagulls are? Anyhow, this is what he did. He would one by one throw out the shrimp and they would eat them up. And even once the bucket was empty, the seagulls would go and sit on his hat. There were so many, they sat on his hat, they pounced around him. They linger as if they were just attracted to him. His name was actually Eddie Rickenbacker. The year was actually way back in the middle 1900s. It was the month of October. And he was reported missing at sea. He had been sent on a mission to deliver a message to somebody. So with a hand-picked crew and a B-17, known as the Flying Fortress, off they went across the South Pacific. And somewhere this crew got lost. They couldn't see, the fuel ran out, and the plane went down. There was 8 men on that plane, and they all stayed alive, and they all got into the life rafts, the little boats that they had tied onto that plane. 8 men and 1 little raft in the middle of the ocean. And as he says it, he says, "We battled the weather, we battled the water, we battled the sharks, we battled the sun," but he said, "most of all we battled was hunger. We were dying of hunger. We had no food." And after 8 days, he said, something had to happen. He said, it's going to take something special to survive. Nobody even knows we're out here. They had run out of options. But every day they would have devotions. These were Christian men. They had devotions. They would pray to God, and they would let God take care of them. So this one afternoon after devotions, they prayed, and Eddie said, "I laid back. I was getting weak, and I just thought, let God take care of us." And he said, "I noticed something on my head." He said, "I don't know how I knew, but I knew it was a seagull. In the middle of the ocean, just water all around, a seagull. And I don't know how I knew," he said later, "but I just knew." And he said, "I knew if I caught that seagull, that meant food." And he said, "I just put my hands up and the seagull never took off." He said, "I put my arms around it. We ate a little bit of a seagull. We used intestines. We had a little bit of string. We caught fish. And we sit out there for days and days, and we survive because of a seagull in the middle of the ocean. And so he said, every Friday night, I head out to feed my seagulls. God has used a seagull to save him. And he said, I'll never forget. What was the seagull doing out there? He didn't know, but God knew. Friends, I want you to remember this morning that God can do way more than we think. When the well's dry, when it feels like you're totally empty and gone down out, God can deliver us. Trust him. Trust him that he will do that. Because you know what? He will. He promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the story of Peter. Even though it was very difficult for Peter and we don't understand how he could be in that prison. But Lord, you were there. Through the prayers of the church, through the angel, you were there and you brought him out of that prison. And Father, today I pray for anybody that's here that feels like they're in a prison. Oh, Father, I pray that the prayers of the church and the angel would come and in your way deliver him. Father, give us the faith to see that things that look impossible in our lives today are possible. Give us the faith to trust you that you will do all things well in your time. When we look around us today, we see many difficult situations. But Lord, you, Lord God, can deliver each and every one if that is your will. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it encourages us along life's road. May it give us the strength again to go on. May it put a joy in our heart knowing that you are our God and we will serve you and glorify you forever and ever. In your name we pray, thanking you. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. Of God I
Thank you for joining in that singing. May our faith increase. Trust God to take care of you. He will. Many situations in life are difficult, but nothing's too big for our God. Absolutely nothing. Remember that. The prayers of the church and the angel from above may encourage you this morning. God is with us. Thank you for coming, for being here. God bless you. So we offer the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Let peace go with you. God bless you.